And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And welcome to this Thursday edition of The Awakening. Bishop Jackson away today, Fred Jackson sitting in on this 48 hours after Election Day. You may remember weeks before Election Day, Tuesday of this week, President Trump was warning of chaos. Chaos because of these states, a lot of these states, Democrat-run states, mailing out millions of absentee ballots, and then making up rules that said, well, we'll start accepting ballots 3 days after Election Day. And then some jurisdictions saying, well, okay, we'll let those ballots come in, but we won't give you results until 9 days after Election Day. Remember those predictions? Remember those prophecies from President Trump? Well, folks, I can tell you today, 2 days after the election, all those predictions are coming true. There is chaos in these states yet to be decided, in particular when we're talking about Georgia, we're talking about North Carolina, we're talking about Pennsylvania, we're talking about Nevada, and a lap over into some questions being raised about Michigan, even though Fox News and AP has called Michigan for Joe Biden. And even though in Arizona, you may remember Fox News in the first 90 minutes of their program on Tuesday night, they called Arizona for Joe Biden. And now there are serious questions about votes that were, we're talking hundreds of thousands of votes that weren't even counted. And that call was made for Joe Biden in Arizona. So we ought not to be surprised that there are a string of lawsuits now and legal challenges being made by the Trump administration, the election team, by the Justice Department in various locations to what's going on in these states. In Michigan and in Pennsylvania, for instance, there are questions being raised about access being given to Republican observers. You may know that states allowed observers from each political party to come in and observe the vote counting. Now, these people who have to be certified, you can't just walk in and say, hey, I'm a Republican, I'm going to watch this. They have to be certified by the party. So challenges are being made because there are some cases. And for instance, this happened in Philadelphia. And you just have to listen very carefully here. A Republican poll watcher in Philadelphia had the proper credentials, but was still being denied by a district official who was doing the counting. It's cut number 8.
You're not letting me in? Well, what? No.
That's why I tell you,
call the police. Do it. If you legal, call the cops.
Don't even argue. The city guy is using the bathroom. He'll be there. Okay. Call that number. Tell him to call somebody.
I have a citywide watcher certificate.
And it's not for this location.
No, it's not for you. This is the city of Philadelphia. You wanted to talk. You wanted to talk outside. Let's talk. I have a watcher certificate. I asked you to read the line. The line said it's good in every ward and division in the city.
Hope you're able to catch that. So here's this poll watcher, this certified poll watcher. He's got the proper credentials that he can go to any poll in the city of Philadelphia. But these probably Democrats there in Philadelphia working at these polling stations are saying, no, this is city of Philadelphia. You can't come into this particular polling district. The credentials allow this Republican poll watcher to go to any polling station in that city. He has been certified. But that's an example of what Republicans are very, very concerned about. Now, out in Nevada, just in the last few hours, there's a challenge being made by Republicans because they have evidence, apparently, that people who are deceased are casting ballots. Of course, that is impossible. They apparently have evidence that non-residents are casting ballots, which, of course, both of these things, obviously illegal. So you have many, many challenges going on, legal challenges that are happening with regards to who is allowed to observe voting and who is voting. Now, in the state of Nevada, they haven't updated their votes. They have a policy there where the counting is done, but they have decided to wait till maybe later today to announce to the public what the results are. So you wonder why there is doubt. You wonder why there are legal challenges. Well, just as the president predicted, there's a lot of doubt. There's a lot of suspicion going on. And as I say, when you have millions of these absentee ballots, now we're not talking about people, who voted early at polling stations. We are talking about people who mailed in ballots. Now in Florida, they had this set up the right way. They had millions of people voting in advance of Election Day, absentee ballots, and showing up at polling stations. But they counted all those ballots prior to the polls closing for those who voted actually voted on Election Day. All right? They counted them all so that when the deadline for voting came on Tuesday, they already had all of those millions of ballots counted. The chaos is being caused by, in Pennsylvania, in Philadelphia in particular, and this is really interesting, and in Georgia and Atlanta in particular, you have these hundreds of thousands of absentee ballots that have been stuck in a corner somewhere or are still being coming in the mailbox. The other thing that's happening, and we know this, is that some ballots do not look legal because they don't have signatures that are matching official signatures of individuals, or the postmark is not legible. But in these jurisdictions, the Democrats under control of that still want those counted. Or they're allowing people to come in and say, okay, we couldn't quite make out your signature here. Could you do it again? This is after Election Day. This is the kind of thing that the president has been warning about, and that is why you have so many legal challenges going on here. I think we have enough time here. I want to get in Project Veritas' James O'Keefe with a Michigan postal worker who says he was told to backdate ballots. It's cut number five.
Your boss told you and your colleagues something that shocked you this morning. What was it?
We were issued a directive this morning to collect any ballots we find in mailboxes, collection boxes, just outgoing mail in general, separate them at the end of the day so that they could hand stamp them with the previous day's date. Today is November 4th, for clarification.
So 8 p.m. Election Day, November 3rd, the Court of Appeals ruled ballots have to be received by that time. And what were you told?
To separate them today so they could mark them with yesterday's date and send them through the express system to wherever they needed to go.
All right. Again, just so you understand what was going on there, is that this postal worker claims he was told to take a stamp and change the date on when that ballot was arriving and being postmarked. He was told to change it to make it legal. This is why there are so many suspicions going on out there. This is why you're having so many legal challenges. All right, you're listening to The Awakening. Fred sitting in for Bishop Jackson today. We're back in a minute.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson. Many Americans probably never even heard of critical race theory until the Trump administration ordered the federal agencies to stop teaching programs based on it in the federal government. If you read articles about it, you might conclude that it is merely an anti-discrimination program, but the president went so far as to describe some of the government programs as toxic propaganda. Since there's so much confusion about critical race theory, I invited Dr. Doug Groteis on my radio program to talk about his recent article on America, Critical Theory, and Social Crisis. He begins his article and his discussion on radio by talking briefly about American ideals as a standard to evaluate critical race theory. He points out that critical theory has its roots in cultural Marxism and is also tied to identity politics. You are defined by your group or intersection of groups called intersectionality. You are either in power or out of power. If you're in power, you are automatically discredited. If you are underprivileged, you are immune from criticism. That means the claims of critical race theory are unfalsifiable. It becomes impervious to counter evidence and thus cannot be rationally defended. He goes on to explain that the underprivileged can make demands, but they need not make arguments since the whole system, including basic rationality, is rigged against them. I think this explains why we hear proponents of critical race theory making statements without appealing to evidence and why they reject anyone trying to present evidence that might dispute their dogmatic statements. He concludes by taking us back to black civil rights heroes who instead appealed to the highest ideals of America and called for necessary changes in society. That is the model we should use as we work to right wrongs in society and work for racial reconciliation. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of the booklet, A Biblical View on Pornography, go to viewpoints.info/pornography. That's viewpoints.info/pornography.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for healthcare, and here's why. Not only is it time for open enrollment for a lot of people, it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For the typical family, switching to MediShare saves about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people. Think what you could do with that. But if you join right now, MediShare is waiving their new member fee, so that's another $170 you'll save. And MediShare is really different. It's a community of Christians who share each other's healthcare bills. More than 400,000 people are members, and they've shared over $4 billion in medical bills. So yes, they can handle your bills too. This may be the time to make the switch. Join before November 30th for the additional savings. It's so easy to find out more. They're great to talk to. In fact, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Here's the number. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Brian Fisher here. Democrats are committing the crime of the century in real time. They're blocking windows and poll watchers so no one can see them. Mail-in ballots backdated to November 3. Votes for Trump omitted in Michigan. Ballots for Biden mysteriously appear. Riots break out again on both coasts. And Biden's already counting his chickens. Next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And Fred Jackson sitting in for Bishop Jackson today, just watching an update from Las Vegas, where here we are 2 days after election, and they still have only counted 76% of the ballots. That's why the Trump campaign is so concerned about what's going on right now. As far as vote count goes, there's about an 12,000 vote spread. Joe Biden in the lead in Nevada. But as I say, only 76% of the vote counted. And as we just mentioned in the first segment, the Trump team challenging, because they are getting reports of names of deceased people on ballots and names of people who are not residents of Nevada, who apparently are, the names are showing up on ballots. So we'll keep a watch on that, as you just heard from Brian Fisher. He'll be keeping an eye on this as well as we go throughout the day. These legal challenges going through court systems, and we will wait and see what happens. If you haven't kept up the votes right now for Joe Biden, the electoral votes, 264, which is why Vegas is being watched closely, because it has six electoral votes. And of course, with votes results not being certified yet in Georgia, and in North Carolina and Pennsylvania. Even though Trump may be in the lead there, he would still have to have the six from Nevada in order for him to reach the magic 270 electoral votes. So that's what's going on here. That's why there's all this tension at the moment. And we'll keep you abreast of that. All right. It would appear at this hour that Republicans will maintain control of the Senate. 52-48, it's looking like right now. So what does that mean in case Joe Biden does become the next president of the United States? Well, basically, it will put a hold on a lot of plans that were announced during the campaign by the Democrats, in particular, packing the court. You may remember that means that there were plans, at least by some Democrats, although Joe Biden seemed to hedge on that, but maybe that was just during the campaign, that they would add four or five more seats to the United States Supreme Court. But if the Republicans do maintain control of the Senate, then they would stop that from happening. And of course, with regards to fiscal policy, the Republicans can do a lot to stop any kind of fiscal plans that a Biden administration might have. So there is some good news in that. The other part is that apparently Republicans have gained at least seven, maybe as many as nine, House seats from the Democrats. It's going to be very interesting to see if indeed that that is finalized. What that means for Nancy Pelosi, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Now, the Democrats would still have control of the House, but lots of questions are being raised about Nancy Pelosi's future, because we do know the squad, the far left of the Democratic Party, is very anxious to enforce their policies, and they see Nancy Pelosi, believe it or not, as being not left-wing enough for them, so there might be a lot of pressure from them to get a new House Speaker to replace Nancy Pelosi. So all of that is in the mix as this story continues to unfold. Now, another part of the story from this election is the money that Democrats spent to try to regain control. You heard of Lindsey Graham in South Carolina. The Democrats pushed $100 million into that one Senate race, the most expensive Senate race in the history of this country. And the $100 million investment the Democrats made just flushed right down the toilet because Lindsey Graham won that Senate seat, holding on to that Senate seat. They also spent millions of dollars trying to overturn the Republican stronghold of Texas. You probably heard a lot of that during the campaign, that Texas was in play, was the phrase that was being used by the Democrats. Well, that didn't happen. Not even anything close. Dan Crenshaw is a member of Congress from Texas. He was on Fox and Friends this morning. Talks about the millions that was spent in Texas in hopes of a blue wave. That didn't happen. And he explains why. Cut number one.
Texans like their state. We like being the number one business climate in America. We like our low taxes. We like less regulations. We like good governance. We like more freedom. We like secure borders. We like safe communities. We like funding our police. See, all of these things are the complete opposite of what the left wants. The left wants to destroy our energy sector, raise our taxes, and make our business climate more like California's. I don't see why this would be a compelling message to win. And as we know, they spent hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars to try and flip it. Almost, aside from me, almost every single candidate in Texas, Republican, was outspent by Democrats. And yet that blue wave was stopped right in its tracks.
You know, it is quite amazing because the Democrats could make that claim during the election campaign because they weren't being challenged by the mainstream media. And folks, we could spend the rest of the program talking about the impact of the mainstream media and their bias in favor of the Democrats. We could talk about how once again the pollsters, the vast majority of them being as wrong or even more wrong than they were in 2016 with regards to their nightly polls that you heard about the Democrats being up nationally 8%, about them taking control of the Democrats in all of these different states. And it simply did not happen. In Florida, You know what happened on election night? Firmly held by the Republicans by a stronger percentage point than even in 2016. So, you know, Frank Luntz, who's one of those pollsters, you see him on Fox News quite a bit, he was saying a couple of weeks before the election that if the pollsters were wrong, they needed to get out of the polling business. Well, they were wrong on so many fronts. There were also part of the story on election night was the overturning of some Democrat seats. And, of course, we know that happened in Alabama. Alabama, a Republican stronghold, but you will remember in 2016, Senator Jones of the Democrats came into power there. A lot of that had to do with the upheaval over Jeff Sessions. Remember, he was appointed Attorney General of the United States by President Trump. Things did not go well. He backed himself away from the Russian investigation, and President Trump, very unhappy with him. I think a lot of Alabamians were very upset. But the person who ran for the Republicans in Alabama against Jones was longtime coach, football coach Tommy Tuberville. He was on Fox and Friends this morning. He was successful, and he certainly is not afraid to lay out his conservative credentials. Cut number two.
You know, I had some of my players come out were disappointed that I was a President Trump supporter. But, you know, I've studied this for years. I'm a big Rush Limbaugh fan. I believe in conservative values, and I believe about talking about them. We've got to fight back as conservative Republicans. We can't be quiet any longer. We got to stand up for the values of the people of this country. There's 340 million people here, greatest country on the face of this earth. If you were born here, you hit the lottery. And so we got to have people stand up for God values, Christian values, and the values of moral across this country. If we don't do that, we're going to lose this country as we know it.
That's exactly it. And this is when you take and you really move back and you get some really good perspective on this election. Unlike many years ago, the values promoted by both parties, Democrats and Republicans, were pretty much the same. The important values. Now, there were differences on fiscal policy, and that's where the battles came from time to time. But in this election, as Tommy Tuberville was talking about there, it was an election where the values of the parties were on trial in this country. And one thing we do know is that this country, this election proved, is very divided in its value system. You have a Republican Party under President Trump that promoted real family values, that promoted biblical values, that promoted conservative fiscal values. One of the major differences, quite frankly, was the approach to Israel. The Democratic Party's approach to Israel, night and day, from what President Trump, remember the promises he made in 2016, a promise to abide by, promises that were made by Democrat presidents and Republican presidents in the past to move our U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. President Trump became the first president to make good on that promise. For biblical values, also with regards to abortion, I want to talk a little bit more about this after we come back after the break in this. It's so important. This was a referendum on the values from each party. And folks, we're not sure where the final election results are going to be. But what comes out of this election will be a reflection of what values that we want going forward in our public policy. That is so important. You're listening to The Awakening. Bishop Jackson is away today. Fred Jackson sitting in as we continue to review and unfold this 2020 election story. We're back right after the break.
It's my turn. Here is your host for My Turn, Don Weilman.
Let me tell you the story of two men by the name of John Anybody and Jim Somebody. Now, John Anybody lived to a ripe old age and died. He went to heaven and applied as a candidate for residency in that place. St. Peter was questioning John Anybody about himself. In the course of the conversation, Mr. Anybody asked St. Peter what kind of people lived in heaven. Well, what kind of people lived in the town where you lived on earth? St. Peter asked Mr. Anybody, turning the question back to him. Oh, the town I lived in wasn't a good town to live in at all. The people weren't friendly. They were stingy. They weren't good neighbors. I just didn't like living in that town at all. That's the reason I ask you what kind of people live up here. If it is the same kind of people, I would just as soon go to the other place, Mr. Anybody replied. Well, I hate to tell you this, said St. Peter, but the same kind of people live up here as lived in your town on earth. If that's the case, replied Mr. Anybody, you can count me out. I want no part of a place like the place I lived in on earth. And with that, Mr. Anybody turned and walked away. As he was leaving, he happened to meet Mr. Jim Somebody, who was on his way to talk to St. Peter about living in heaven. Not any need of going in there, Mr. Anybody told Mr. Somebody. People in there are just like they were on earth. They aren't worth living with. Mr. Somebody thanked him for the advice, but stated that he wanted to check it out for himself. When Mr. Somebody got to the gate, he began talking with St. Peter. What kind of people live up here? Mr. Somebody asked St. Peter. The fellow I passed on the road said they weren't fit to live with. Again, St. Peter did not answer his question directly, but with another question. What kind of people lived in the town where you lived on earth? St. Peter asked Mr. Somebody. Oh, they were fine people. They were friendly. They were generous and helpful. Real good neighbors. I really enjoyed living in the town where I lived on earth, Mr. Somebody said in reply to St. Peter's question. Well, said St. Peter, the same kind of people live up here. Excellent, claimed Mr. Somebody. How about opening the gates and letting me in? And St. Peter did open the gates, and Mr. Somebody promptly entered heaven. Well, that's the story of Mr. John Anybody and Mr. Jim Somebody. Both of them asked St. Peter the same question, and St. Peter asked both of them the same question. But St. Peter received two completely different answers from the two men. Mr. Somebody went to heaven, and Mr. Anybody went to, well, Mr. Anybody just didn't go to heaven, but it was of his own free choice that he did not go to heaven. I nearly forgot to tell you, Mr. Anybody and Mr. Somebody lived in the same town. Anywhere, Earth.
This has been My Turn with Don Weilman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And welcome back to The Awakening. Fred Jackson sitting in for Bishop Jackson today as he takes a bit of time off. And we're doing our update on elections and election results, as we've been talking about since the top of the show. A lot of legal challenges being launched by the Trump campaign for various reasons. Some of the polling stations, Michigan, Pennsylvania, being closed off to Republican certified observers. That's one of the things. A huge problem, an absolutely huge problem with these absentee ballots, and states like Pennsylvania allowing ballots to still come in. And they're allowing those ballots to still come in up until tomorrow, 3 days after the election. And then they're saying they're giving themselves until next Friday, a week from tomorrow, to announce results. President Trump warned about this. When you stretch things out like this, and you allow these millions of absentee ballots to come in at this late date, it just opens the door to so much fraud. And that's what's driving these legal challenges. Jay Sekulow, is part of that team, has been part of the president's team, was the lead in the president's team against Nancy Pelosi's impeachment against the president. So he's there. Pam Bondi, the former attorney general of Florida, also one of the president's lawyers. So we'll have to wait and see how all of that works out. You know, it's very interesting. It was predicted to be a bloodbath for the Republican, against the Republicans. That's what the media was telling us throughout the election campaign. Kellyanne Conway was on Fox and Friends this morning responding to this. In fact, she said, in her opinion, it was an outstanding night for the Republicans. And in any other business, these media types and pollsters, they would have been fired. Cut number three.
President Trump is dragging down Republican senators with him.
For parties, sometimes you're the windshield, sometimes you're the bug. And this year, it looks like Republicans are the bug.
This could be the year where Texas goes blue.
There was no blue wave. There was no early night. There was no Democratic progressive realignment. In fact, the Democratic down ballot disasters carried all the way to the state legislatures as well. The Democrats did not flip a single state legislature. The seven races that flipped that are brand new Republican pickups, as Leader McCarthy noted, as I tweeted yesterday, as others are saying, those were all carried by a woman, a minority candidate, and or a veteran. Nobody wants to cure this problem. If this were a real business, the C-suite would be cleaned out, the shareholders would revolt, and the consumers would vote with their feet. They'd go elsewhere.
Yeah, that's the part of the untold story, at least the mainstream media is not focusing on. There were some real positives in what happened on Tuesday night. If you're a conservative, you're a pro-family values individual, there are some things to celebrate. In fact, you know there are some things to celebrate when the Democrats are already this morning an Associated Press story with another Florida loss. This is the headline, Democrats Begin Second Guessing. Now, what's the story talking about? It's talking about a major movement within the Latino community towards President Trump and the Republicans. And the Democrats just can't understand that. There's also been a movement amongst traditional demographics in the African-American community, amongst young black men, amongst black women. The percentage has grown with regards to going to Republicans. Now, why is that? Why is that? It's because they understand President Trump, he did so much for those communities. When you talk about prison reform that was promised by Barack Obama, but he didn't do it. President Trump did it. Remember, not only he released, arranged for the releasing of people who were put in and given prison sentences, African Americans, 20 years for simple possession. When it comes to the Latino community, he opened doors for the entrepreneurial spirit in the Latino community, like Barack Obama did not. You see, what happened is the Democrats have grown somewhat arrogant. They figured they had the African-American community, the Latino community, in the palms of their hands, that these people wouldn't vote anywhere else. But that's not true. Now, do the majority in each of those communities still vote Democrat? Yes. But we saw a significant movement in that area. And I believe that movement is going to continue. And that's why you have this Associated Press story this morning. They can't figure it out. Now, they're blaming things like Joe Biden wasn't out of his basement very much, that he stayed in his basement, didn't get out there and do those rallies that the president did. Well, that was a Democratic Party decision. He didn't get out there. Kamala Harris, I'm sorry, not very popular. Really isn't. And she did the same type of rallies. I remember one rally in particular, about 8 cars showed up at their so-called rallies. For all those reasons, they lost a lot of that base in key states that they thought they were going to win. Florida, Texas, Ohio. Remember they spent time, Biden and Kamala Harris in Ohio. They thought they were going to take Ohio. didn't happen. So there's a lot as we get down and really analyze what happened on Tuesday night, that if you're a conservative, you're a family values person, that you can celebrate. Now, I was mentioning just before the break about Israel, Israel's relations. Jan Markell of Understanding the Times, a program heard on the weekend here on Saturdays and Sundays, also the head of Olive Tree Ministries. We talked to her this morning on Today's Issues about her concerns of what happens if Joe Biden does become the next president of the United States, what happens with this country's relationship with Israel. Cut number nine.
Our relationship right now with Israel is, it's tenuous. I mean, it's wonderful under Donald Trump. I'm not the least bit worried about it. But honestly, if this changes, and then if you follow Genesis 12:3, I'll bless those who bless Israel, I'll curse those who curse her. If we're going back into the cursing mode, a la Biden, Obama, then we've got some real potential problems in America. It's slam dunk, no brainer. We're going to hit the wall somehow. I just don't trust his judgment. Look at his vice president. But look, Ilhan Omar won up here in Minnesota. Yes. He'll be pushed by the squad, and he'll come under their pressure and their thumb, and they have power. I mean, let's be blunt; they've got the power today.
All right, there you see it. That's one difference, and that's certainly one concern that Christians ought to have is our relationship with Israel, as Jan Markell there just mentioned. Genesis chapter 12 teaches us that God will bless those who bless Israel and curse those who curse Israel. And we've seen that, folks, throughout history. And the relationship that President Trump has had with Israel has been absolutely incredible. And you've saw it every time that they had a meeting between President Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli leader. The relationship there compared to what was going on when Barack Obama was in power. The other thing to be concerned about, President Trump has taken a strong stand against Iran. What's going to happen? Remember Barack Obama, Joe Biden, when they were in power? They made this deal with Iran, sent Iran hundreds of millions of dollars in the middle of the night on pallets. We're talking cash, which has enabled Iran to start developing their nuclear power once again. President Trump has been hard against Iran because of their stated objective to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. So that is something, an important difference between the two, and something that we're going to have to watch. The other thing that is very interesting in the wake of election night, you know, states like Oregon, there was no surprise in that they voted for Biden. They are Democrat-run states. Last night in Portland, there were more riots. And you really have to scratch your head. The city of Portland has Democratic leadership. They have a Democrat governor. And now they gave their support to Joe Biden, who may be the next president of the United States. But there were still riots last night. They're still not satisfied, folks. What do these rioters want? So much to talk about with regards to this election, but want to hear your opinion right now. 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. What do you think of all these lawsuits? How do you think it's all going to end up? 888-589-8840 is the number to call here on The Awakening on this Thursday edition. Back in a few moments.
Hey, Siri.
Go ahead.
Show me some Christian music streaming apps.
Okay. Here's what I found under Christian music streaming apps.
The AFR app? Isn't that talk shows only?
It was, until recently. Now the new music streaming option plays music 24/7.
Oh, wow.
God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Download the AFR app today at AFR.net.
Hello, I'm Franklin Graham. Right now, our country is in trouble, and people are scared, people are afraid, and we see the violence and the injustices that are taking place. Only God can change this. This is a problem of the human heart.
If you'd like to pray with someone, call us any time of the day or night at 888-388-2683. 888-388-2683.
Call that number right now. We've got someone who will pray with you, talk with you, encourage you. God bless.
What would it be like if every person knew
that they were created in the image of God.
After 2 years in the making, American Family Studios proudly presents In His Image, delighting in God's plan for gender and sexuality.
There are only two sexes, male or female. If you're conceived with a Y chromosome, you will develop into a male.
In His Image is a documentary featuring life-changing testimonies of former LGBT individuals.
In my most formative years of development of sexuality, I went through a brutal time of sexual distortion, molestation.
Visit inhisimage.movie to watch In His Image.
Well, everybody, welcome to this unboxing video as we unbox my hormone blockers.
In His Image from American Family Studios is available now for free viewing. Visit inhisimage.movie.
You're made in the image of God.
I just said, I don't want to go on anymore. And this was the second time that I realized that was the suicidal depression. And I said, I don't want to go on anymore. And I remember crying out and saying, God, where are you? You promised you wouldn't leave me. But I'm alone. I don't know where you are.
Kirsten Samuel recalls an intimate moment she experienced with God on Focus on the Family Minute.
And I was sitting there with my eyes closed, and all of a sudden I got this picture in my head, and it was Jesus standing with his arms wide open. And he said, I'm right here. And when he said that, I started to breathe, because I knew that my God was real, and he had met me in my point of pain. And he would never ever leave me, because he had all these promises, and he said, I provided for you ahead of time.
More from Kirsten at familyminute.org.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And welcome back. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. We're going to go to our phones in just a second. You know, values were on trial during this election campaign. As we mentioned, it is clear, regardless of the legal challenges and all of those things going on right now, that we are a divided country. So what if Joe Biden prevails and he does become the next president of the United States? We do have to be watchful and continue the fight for pro-life values in this country. That must continue. Religious freedom in general. We know the Democrats. We saw what happened in the Barack Obama, Biden years. What happened with religious freedom in this country came under attack. Business people like Baronelle Stutzman in Washington State losing her business because she wouldn't provide flowers for a homosexual wedding. You know that's going to be promoted by this White House once again, because the Democrat Party now is even more radical than it was under Barack Obama and Joe Biden from 2008 to 2016. Because you've got your AOCs and the rest of the squad members, you've got Bernie Sanders. We have to, what's going to happen with illegal immigration? Will they stop the border wall projects of President Trump? Elections have consequences. Elections have consequences. We keep saying that. So we have to. And so what do we do as conservatives? We continue the battle, folks. That's what we do. When Paul came under opposition, read the New Testament, continued the battle. Daniel, in the Old Testament, what he faced, he continued the battle, because we continue the battle for the kingdom, folks. That's what we have to do. We have to have kingdom and eternal values in place and keep the fight up. We're not alone. The Lord is on our side. So regardless of what the final results are, the Lord is on our side. We continue that kingdom battle for the kingdom. Amen. Let's go to our phones. And Georgia, Missouri, welcome. Go ahead, George.
Hey, Fred, how you doing today?
Doing great.
I tell you, the way this is, they ought to recount all the states that are in question. Mm-hmm. And our president, he's got faults just like every one of us. And But he's been the best president we've ever had, and I think the Democrats are so jealous over that. Do they play their little, the Democrats, do they play their little league game all to cheat? Because I'd be ashamed to be a Democrat and have to cheat on the ballots and write in names. Think about that on your afterlife, what you did to win and what you brought your country into, bringing it into communism and socialism. You know, this ain't going to only affect the Republican conservatives that I don't think would do what you're doing right now, but it's going to affect the Democrats and everybody else in this country. If we go under a socialist, it's going to affect all you Democrats. You
Absolutely.
Don't know it.
Absolutely, George. That is a great point. You know, unfortunately, and I, during the election campaign, I would see these young people out there, and they're all in. They're all in on this idea of moving this nation towards socialism. These kids don't know what socialism is, what real socialism is. I wish each one of those kids, those young people, could visit Cuba. I had the opportunity to do that a few years ago on a mission trip. And you would see what socialism does to a country where the government is in complete control of your life. They decide how much money you're going to make. They decide where you're going to live. They decide what kind of work you're going to do. These kids have no idea. They've been sold a bunch of left-wing propaganda by their university professors, an education system that has been largely pro-socialism and has benefited from a capitalist country. But they misled these kids, and that's why we're seeing today. And those kids have become your lawyers. Those kids have become your journalists. Those kids are now running journalism schools, part of the propaganda machine that's out there. We have to be aware of that. All right, let's go to Mississippi, and Andy is on the line. Afternoon, Andy, go ahead.
Hey, Fred, how are you, man? Great to hear you today.
Good to be here.
Hey, I'm a conservative Trump supporter, obviously. But, you know, maybe these rioters are still rioting because, you know, Trump was blamed for that anyway to start with. Maybe they're still rioting because he hasn't won yet. And I've been a little facetious, but, you know, Trump gets blamed for everything, which is not the case. But it's a sad day in America. We have here, I mean, 2 days after election, and we still don't have a winner declared, and all this falsifying records, and you know what kind of example are we setting for our young people?
Yep.
This day and time.
Yep. That's it exactly, Andy. You mentioned about the rioters, and I think why they were back on the streets of Portland last night, why there were more arrests in New York City, all Democrat-controlled cities. Because they think if Joe Biden becomes president, he won't be leftist enough for them. They want far more than socialism. They're looking at radical socialism. That's what they want. We know the Black Lives Matter organization, founded and run by Marxists. I mean, what they want for this country, I think even the Democratic Party is not ready for, at least Joe Biden and that element of the Democratic Party. Now, when you talk about the AOCs and the Bernie Sanders, yeah, they're ready for the kind of change that these anarchists that are in the streets of these Democrat-run cities, what they want. They want to move the country so far left that you wouldn't recognize it. Turn us into Venezuela. All right, let's go to Ohio. James, good afternoon. Go ahead, James.
Hey, Fred, how are you?
Doing well, sir.
Good, good. Hey, I just wanted to mention, I was watching a video on YouTube last night, and I think it was live. It was Glenn Beck, and he had an analyst on there. He was showing, like, overnight, like, three of the swing states. They were showing the hour-by-hour analytics of all the votes. And, you know, obviously Trump's ahead, and then, say, 4 o'clock in the morning, boom, Biden's line goes vertical straight up past Trump of, like, a massive data dump of anywhere from 10,000 to, you know, 60,000 votes, all for Biden.
Yeah.
And or where in another state, I can't remember which one it was off the top of my head, there was more people that voted that are registered to vote in that county. So we know there's some shenanigans going on there.
Yeah, no question about voter fraud. And you see, this is the kind of thing, and we appreciate your comment, James, this is the kind of thing the president warned about. And this is why you have to keep the rules real simple. Florida was the model for this. Yes, they had millions of absentee ballots and millions of people who voted in advance. But those votes were counted prior to Election Day. In other words, Florida is not still counting votes, folks. They're not. They're not still counting absentee ballots. They're not counting those people who voted before Election Day. That's the way it has to be. Florida has to be the model for the rest of the country. It avoids all the nonsense that's going on right now in Georgia and North Carolina and Pennsylvania and Nevada. That's all there is to it. I don't know about you, but I'm buying this nonsense that the pandemic, people couldn't get out to vote. That's nonsense. Mail-in ballot, okay, that's fine. But millions of people couldn't get out to vote? You telling me these people have not been out of their house since March to buy groceries, to go to the drugstore, to go visit friends? Please don't tell me that you can't get out once every 4 years and mark a ballot. This was designed by these Democrat governors and these Democrat-run states for this kind of chaos. And that's, you cannot help why the president has these kinds of suspicions. All right, let's go to James in Virginia. James, go ahead.
Donald Trump has done more to bless Israel than any president in American history. Amen. And God is going to bless him for that.
Amen. Amen.
And I believe that he is going to win this election. Truth will prevail instead of deceit.
Yeah, well, certainly I agree with you, sir, that Donald Trump has been incredible when it comes to Israel and his relationship with the Israeli people. I believe that's why the Jewish vote this time, which has tended secular Jews in this country, 70% of them have voted Democrat through the years, and that was the case. But amongst Orthodox Jews, you had a 6 or 7% increase in support for the Republican Party, and I believe for Donald Trump in particular, because of what he did for the Jewish people. Took a strong stand against the demands of the Palestinian people, stood strong with Israel against Hamas on their doorstep. Donald Trump stood strong against Iran. And that's why those neighboring, just days before the election, you saw those countries signing deals with Israel, like Saudi Arabia and other countries, signing deals, first-time relationship, those kinds of relationships with Israel. It was because of Donald Trump and what he did. So we're going to have to wait and see, folks. We're going to have to wait and see what happens. This is going to spill over longer than most elections, the results of this, because, as I say, there's some counting going to be done until next Friday. But we keep praying and we keep knowing and can assure ourselves that God is still in control. Amen. Hope you have a great rest of the day, folks. Much more great programming here on American Family Radio. And Lord willing, we'll see you tomorrow right here on The Awakening. Bye for now.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.